Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We'll be talking about bringing a new pet into your family with us on the show today. And we'll be doing that in just a minute or two. But first, Kate Archer Kent is joining me. And, of course, this is our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive for spring.
It is. Hi, Larry. Oh, my goodness. Hello.
It's good to see your smiling face. I tell you what, as you listen to Kate and I talk, think about a few things. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations. And you know what? We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Absolutely. It is listener support that is the largest piece of the funding that makes the Larry Mueller Show and, look, all the other programs that you enjoy each day. And that is why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Last hour, we heard from 26 folks, contributors. They're new and returning members, so I want to thank you so much for those gifts. And today it's kind of cool because all of our contributions, up to $85,000, will be matched by a group of generous members.
That is so exciting. And it is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Public Radio has a unique funding model. It's a two-way street. It creates, I think, a high-quality product. And here's how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
Isn't that something? It is an amazing system. You get programs worth listening to precisely because you step up and support them. So make your contribution for the independent news, the information, the music you love. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy in WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for a whole lot of reasons. Giving to WPR is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
It is your contribution today, right now, not only pays for the programs you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover WPR. So make that difference with a gift of $100 or $10 a month, whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. One you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller and Kate Archer Kent here. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do. With a few minutes of your time, all we need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this is so exciting. Our dollar for dollar match in effect right now. Give now and make every dollar go twice as far at WPR.org or 888 202-2552. Again, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You can support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride when you ask for the WPR pint cups. Perfect for your favorite beverage, indoors and out. I have a favorite in mind. It's a little early in the day for it, but at some point I'll be using that WPR pint cup. Just give $20 a month or more and ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Sandy in Hayward says, I love learning new things I didn't expect to be learning about, and I especially enjoy Larry Mueller's program. So good to hear from Sandy.
Your gift right now is so important. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much if you have already contributed. If you haven't, hey, do it right now. Kate, you come back and talk with me again?
Will do. Yeah, of course.
Okay. I love seeing her smiling face. I love it. Well, I also love talking with guests on the show. And today we're talking about bringing a new pet into your family. Back with us, George Malera, certified professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. George has trained dogs for over 20 years. George, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Larry, thanks for having me back, my friend. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty fine, and I'm looking forward to talking as well to Lauren Watashik, who is the executive director of Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison. Lauren, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be on the show with you.
Well, I'm great to have you with us. We're going to be talking with these two wonderful people about how to choose a rescue pet, how to help them transition to their new homes, and maybe problems they may have when they get there. And talk a little bit about behavior and dealing with that. Maybe you have a new pet. What behaviors are you concerned about? Love to have you part of the conversation. Give a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. Lauren, let's start with you. Tell us about Underdog Pet Rescue.
Yeah, so I started Underdog in 2012 as a foster home-based rescue. So we take in animals from shelters that are overflowing. A lot of them are in the south of the United States. And we have a network of about 250 foster homes that are all volunteers, and they take care of the animals until we get them all vetted. They get all the vet care they need. They get training help from George. And then we seek adopters in our area to make them their permanent family members.
So this is a little different from other rescue operations?
Well, something that we really try to do is provide support before to make sure it's the right pet, to have a good experience for people during the adoption, and then also to be there after. So sometimes we'll have somebody who adopts a dog and then they have some issues with transitioning, and then George steps in or we're able to provide different resources for them. So we try to just make everyone feel supported throughout the event. And we also take the animals back if it's not working out.
That's pretty cool. George, talk about what you do with them in those circumstances.
Well, I love working with Underdog because of the support that they provide families. It just reassures the idea that the adoption will stay more permanent, providing the help to the families that they need in whatever capacity, you know, whether they adopt a puppy or a little bit of an older dog. You know, we have boots on the ground down south that provide us with really lovely dogs. But during transport, it can be a very stressful time. And being able to, again, evaluate the dogs, make sure that they're going to the right homes, and providing information to potential adopters on whether or not the dog is a good fit for their family is such a great, it's such a great way to run a rescue, because we want people that are going to adopt and keep the dog in their home and provide a long, loving relationship with their pup.
That's such a great system that you've got going. Edie in Heartland has a question that certainly relates. Edie, hi, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. It's actually Eddie, but I was calling to ask how to navigate through the dog rescue process. I've really, really had trouble. Been looking for a second dog off and on for a couple of years, and have just in the last couple of days been turned down because we have existing invisible fence in our ground that I admitted, and with the dog in question, it wouldn't have been used. It was too small, and we live on a peninsula on a private one-lane country road, and it's not really it's a wonderful place for dogs, and we dog sit for other people. They dog sit for us. We're great candidates. We have a wonderful vet history. We just keep getting turned down, or I'll find a dog that's suitable, and it'll have, you know, three adoption applications pending. So I don't know.
Okay. Lots of problems there, Eddie. Thank you so much for your questions. Lauren, let's turn to you.
Yeah. So I know that every organization has different regulations and different rules on what kind of families will adopt to. For us, we really try to be open-minded. We think that there's a dog for every home and a home for every dog. And so for us, we try to work individually with each animal. It's not like we're selling shirts or something like that where we can have a guarantee that this shirt's going to work well on this person, this dog's going to do well in this home. So we try to see each animal and each adopter as an individual. I know that sometimes it's difficult. Right now, we have a lot of people looking for puppies. We only have so many puppies, so some people feel like they're waiting forever to get, to be first in line for that dog. It's a good problem for us to have in that situation, have a lot of people wanting an animal. But for people like Eddie, I would say you might want to look at a variety of different rescues or humane societies in your area. I think it's really important to be honest on your application like you were. And I think that we really, for Underdog, we really try to be reasonable. If you're not going to use the underground fence system, there's some dogs who people do want to use those with, and some dogs would really do poorly with that. But I think that if you keep on looking around, maybe check out the Humane Society. There's a good one in Waukesha, a great one in Milwaukee, where I adopted my first dog, Wisconsin Humane. You might just have to widen your search a little bit.
Okay, Eddie, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You mentioned pups, young puppies. I have a friend of mine received a rescue who was an older dog and just a wonderful, wonderful dog. Lila, I love you. That Lila's the dog.
Yeah, we love older dogs. That's when we called ourselves Underdog, it was for the reason of really helping the true underdogs. And like I said, the puppies just fall out, fly off the shelves. But the older dogs sometimes sit a little bit longer because they need medical care. But honestly, with older dogs, what you see is what you get. You kind of know what their personality is going to be like a little bit more. And they seem appreciative for everything that they get in their adoptive homes.
Lauren Latashik, Executive Director of Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison, and George Malera, a certified professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison, our guest today. Another guest during our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive is Kate Archer Kent with that big smile on her face. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like our regular pet care conversations every month. Your support makes that happen because listener support is actually the largest source of funding for our program. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And what a day, Larry. A group of generous members have created a challenge. It's up to $85,000 to inspire you to support WPR today. And so for as long as this match money is out there, your gift will be matched.
And I'm looking and I'm seeing there's about $43,000 left. So yep. There's still plenty of room in the challenge for your gift. So double your impact for WPR with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, Wisconsin Public Radio is such a great source of information about the nation, about our world, and about Wisconsin. You value WPR for the lifelong learning it brings to your life. You learn something new every day, year after year.
This continuing education is possible only because of support from listeners like you. Like any education, you get out of it what you put into it. So how about investing in your education right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I love being a sustainer. Become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or credit card. You set it up. It'll continue for as long as you'd like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without, make your support ongoing with a sustainable gift. It's convenient. It's flexible, too. Just get started right now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Enjoy your favorite beverage with a pair of WPR pint cups. These steel clean canteen cups are perfect for sipping on a drink outside or staying hydrated throughout the day. And with an eye-catching geometric design, your WPR pride will be on full display with every sip. Where do you like to enjoy a beverage?
I would have to say my favorite place to enjoy a beverage is on my three-season porch at night with just me and my dogs.
My sunroom at the back of my house.
Lounging by the side of a lake or cuddled up next to a fireplace.
Ask for your pair of WPR pint cups today. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more. Here's how.
You can do that by giving at WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Listener support's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on, and that's why your support during this spring member drive is so important. And maybe your gift's $10 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And it's so exciting. Today, support WPR and your gift will go twice as far. All donations up to $85,000 will be matched. We have match money on the table. And this is from a group of generous members.
So take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love, it will be doubled at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, we ask that you make a contribution, and we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. And many people give $10 a month, some give $100 or more a month.
Yeah, whatever amount. We'll use it to support the programs you enjoy. So this will keep your source for information and entertainment on WPR going strong.
Mm-hmm.
Give now. It will. Give now. Whatever amount feels right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this big, huge dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. It is something. It's a great time to support the WPR programs you love. Give now. Match your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Support Wisconsin Public Radio, and then ask for that pair of WPR pint cups. It's an eye-catching geometric design, and your love for WPR will be on full display with every sip. I'm thinking about that right now. I'm going to try mine out today. What about you? If you haven't gotten one, this is the time to do it. Ask for yours with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, can I just give a shout out? Janet in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota says, I'm donating to support Larry Mueller and Chapter a Day. So, Janet, thank you so much for your support.
And again, Janet, thank you. Your support, very powerful. Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution right now. And thank you. Taking a look at pet care on the show today, helping rescue animals adjust to a new home. That's one of the things we're zeroing in with our two guests. Lauren Watashik is the executive director of Underdog Pet Rescue. Take a look at their website, Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison. So it's great to have her with us, and certainly also great to have George Malera back, certified professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Lots of callers online. Let's take a question from Mo in Oconto next. Hi, Mo.
Hello. I have a question. I have a younger dog, about 6 months old, and he doesn't normally bark at all, but sometimes when he's in the back of the kennel, in the back of the car, he'll get on these barking jags. And, of course, there's nothing you can do when you're driving, so I was wondering if there was any suggestions for that.
That's a great question, Mo. Thank you for calling. You know, one of the things that I love to tell people is, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So before you head off on a little excursion with your pup in the crate, you can prepare and be better prepared by stuffing a Kong or any sort of enrichment toy that you can find at a lot of pet stores these days. And you can stuff it with a variety of things. My favorite recipe so far has been a mixture of pumpkin, Greek yogurt, plain Greek yogurt, and a little bit of peanut butter. You mix that up, and you stuff the Kong pack solid, and you freeze it. And then before you go on a little road trip, you throw it in the crate with your dog, and he'll have something to do while he's in the back. If stuffing a Kong is sort of something that you don't have time for, you can always give him a chewy, like a bully stick, or something for him to sort of gnaw on while he's venturing off, you know, in the car with you. Keeping him occupied, it's like having, you know, a tablet or a device for a kid in the back seat. Keeping him busy will keep his attention on the yummy chew or the Kong, and he won't be tempted to look out the window and bark at passerbys that might be giving him a little of attention.
That's a good tip. Mo, thank you for calling. You can join in too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Open lines, we'll get you on pretty quickly. Dawn in La Crosse, let's go to you. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, perfect timing. I just rescued an 8-year-old puppy mill survivor Saturday. He's a Pomeranian and Sheltie, and I have some experience with puppy mill dogs in the past I've had, but he is so timid and so afraid of being touched. He doesn't get aggressive, but he just moves away and very scared, and just wondering if you have any tips for me.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for adopting, especially this is the type of dog that Lauren and I talk about a lot, are the underdogs. You know, these are dogs that might be passed over for a more rambunctious, happy-go-lucky dog, so thank you for doing that. One of the things, you know, the biggest thing about a puppy mill dog or a dog that has anxiety or fear of people is slow and steady wins the race, making sure that all good things come from you. And this is where I pull out the big guns, a little bit of cheese, a little bit of sliced deli meat. You know, make your pup an offer that they can't refuse and move very, very slowly. Start by just touching them on their side or on their back. Some of these dogs don't like having a hand reaching over their head. So maybe a scratch under the chin would be a way to sort of take the steps forward to start doing handling exercises and touching him. Something else I recommend for these types of dogs is to leave a leash dragging in the house. It can prevent the need for having to chase him down or make him scared or going to hide underneath a table or anything like that. By having the leash, you'll have something to pick up
and you'll be able to navigate your home a little bit easier with him. And also, like I said, time is what really is of the essence when we're dealing with dogs that are fearful or anxious like this. And decompression is something that we talk about in the rescue world a lot, where we give the dog ample time to rest and allow all the chemicals and hormones in their body to regulate so that they can sort of start coming out of their shell. And limiting excursions, so not really putting the cart in front of the horse. A lot of people that get a dog, they're like, I have to socialize this dog and take him out and show him the world. Where, in fact, I press for more people doing more bonding, hand feeding, and just really taking the time to just allowing the dog to decompress and acclimate to your home.
That's great advice. Again, Dawn, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Lauren, what about, in your experience, what are the most common mistakes people make when they bring a new pet home?
I think that one of the things that is of most importance is to really take things slow. Kind of to piggyback off what George said, you don't want to take a brand new dog to the dog park right away. You want to make sure to slowly introduce animals that you adopt to other animals in your house. Some animals you can just adopt a puppy, bring it in the house, and everyone's great. You can do that with some adult dogs too, but you just don't know. And once you've done it, you can't necessarily take it back. You have to kind of go back and do the work again. So I think that taking it slow is one of my biggest bits of advice. These animals they've transitioned so much. They went from a loud shelter, a long car ride to a foster home, to our vet clinic, and back to the foster home, and then to this new home. So it's kind of traumatic, even for really well-rounded animals. So just being patient and taking time. And gosh, with those puppy mill dogs and dogs that are so shy, when they finally come around, even if it takes you 6 months, when they jump on your lap for the first time, it's the best feeling in the world.
I agree.
Yeah. You know, an interesting thing, I'm thinking about Lila, the rescue dog that I'm in love with. She was, and she's a Staffordshire, so a large dog, but a very quiet dog. And it was weeks, and she hadn't barked. And I thought, wow, this dog is not a barker. But finally, she has started to bark. And I think it just takes a while, doesn't it, George, for their personality, their true personality, maybe to come out when, you know, they've gone through a fair amount of trauma.
Absolutely, Larry. We have a sort of a standing, like a little phrase that we say, you know, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. 3 days for the dog to decompress, 3 weeks for the dog to find a routine, and 3 months for the dog to realize that they're home. And obviously that number three can change for different dogs, but absolutely. And then that's when you start to see their true colors come through. And that's, and it's really nice to see them blossom into their true selves. It's really nice to watch them develop and come into their own.
Questions for our guest today. I hope you'll join in. We're talking about introducing a dog to a new home. We're talking about rescue animals, and of course, animal behavior. So questions, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. What should you have ready in your home for a new pet?
Well, I think that having a crate is a really good idea. And George can talk a little bit more about why we like to have crates. It's both for the animal's safety and to kind of create a safe space that they feel good in. Having a high quality food, our foster homes are usually able to tell adopters what food the dog's been on so that they can more easily transition, and sometimes they send some along. Kongs, those toys that you can stuff that are usually red or black, they're really sturdy. They're something you can leave alone with your pet. A leash and a collar. What else, George?
All the basic stuff. It's I always compare it to having a baby. With babies, people sometimes they go overboard and they buy a lavish stuff for the baby. But really, what does the baby need? They need a crib, a bassinet. They need love and warmth from their family. So all the basic stuff that Lauren mentioned, and, you know, and people should have fun when they get stuff for their dogs. Find a collar that matches their personality. But the crate is obviously, for me, one of the most important things. And we have to sort of get over this taboo of the crate being a cage. It's only a cage if you use it like one. But it's so super important to have a crate for a dog, one, like Lauren said, to provide them safety. There's been, you know, a lot of cases where dogs will ingest something or eat something and hurt themselves, where they've just sort of had, you know, freedom in the house, and they get into a little bit of mischief and get into something they're not supposed to, and they can get hurt or sick. So having them in their crate is a nice little insurance policy that they're not going to get out and get themselves into trouble. The other part of the crate is them having their own little like dorm room, a place where they can retire if they're feeling a little overwhelmed, a place where they can sort of spend time where they can have their own little space is very important too. And remember, you know, like every dog is going to be different. So when you first get a dog, if you introduce the crate early on, you know, giving them little treats in their crate and making sure that crate is super, super special. And then utilizing the crate for short stints of time. And it's super important to train a dog to use a crate, not only when you're out of the house, but also when you're home. Some dogs, they suffer from FOMO. Everybody knows what FOMO is, right? Fear of missing out. So a dog in their crate, when people are home, might start barking and getting upset because they can hear the refrigerator door open and they're like, hey, is that the cheese drawer? So it's important that we give them time in their crate and give them rewards for being in their crate when they're quiet. And that will help them acclimate and understand that sometimes they're going to be in their crate when people are home, and sometimes they'll be in the crate when people aren't home.
Lauren Watashik and George Malara, our guests today, as we talk about pets and maybe your pet here on the Ideas Network. George was talking about treats. It's always a treat for me to have Kate Archer Kent join in. Hi, Kate, especially during our Wisconsin nice. Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Oh, she and I are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Larry Mueller Show. So support the people that you and programs that you enjoy. Support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for the programs you value, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so, so, so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, Larry, today it is so important. Your donation to WPR will be matched. And this is a group of generous members who've created a challenge up to $85,000. And it means they are matching every gift right now for as long as it lasts.
And there's still $41,000 left to be matched, mm-hmm. So it's out there for you. You know, for those who have been so generous, it's their way of encouraging you to support the variety of programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. So, you know, double your impact. You can do it right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been talking about our pets on the show today and just learning about an organization doing such good work to find homes for pets in need. You know, and I'm thinking about my longtime rescue sweetheart. A shout out to Maddie, a native of Louisiana, and I just love her. Your pet is an important part of your life, and so are these conversations. WPR is listener supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour, you make many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes here and make your gift.
Think about what you spend money on every day. Is it coffee? Is it takeout? You know, it adds up. Mm-hmm. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio is a part of your routine as well. It's your news source. It's your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month. It'll be matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
We've seen a recent increase in our childcare costs as my daughter is currently going to a preschool.
Yes, my newspaper subscription just went up.
If you've looked at my electric bill lately, it has gone up substantially.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent. Your support during this spring member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift, maybe it's $10, maybe it's $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And now is the time. Give right now while you're thinking about it.
You'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs you love. See what that's like right now. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And wow, what a moment. We have this exciting dollar-for-dollar match in effect. So give now. There is match money for you on the table at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You can support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride when you ask for the WPR pint cups, perfect for your favorite beverage, indoors or out. Give $20 a month or more and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched right now.
Did you see what Maria and McQuanago said?
Oh, I do. I want to read it here, Larry. Maria says, "I love Larry, who can converse on so many topics." And by the by, Maria says, "I love his guest, Scott Cravens."
Thank you, Maria. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here taking a look at pet care and helping rescue animals adjust to a new home. Lauren Watashik, executive director of a great organization, is Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison. With us as well, George Malera, a certified professional dog trainer, owner of Divine Canine in Madison. He works with a lot of groups, including Underdog Pet Rescue. And it's great to have both of them with us today. Join in, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Casey in Rice Lake, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I have a question about my daughter's dog. They rescued a Scottish Terrier. She was surrendered because she was kind of the bully dog with another dog in the house. So she, when they got her, they requested that she'd be the only dog in the house. Her deal is if she's out in a dog park now, she kind of wants to be alone, sniff, do her own thing. But if I get her inside with my other daughter's dog, she has those real Scottish Terrier patrol, hyper, kind of little high-strung and kind of wants to be very territorial and a little snappish and aggressive to the other sweetheart Boston Terrier, and just wondering about how we can start melding and getting them together a little bit, and her not being such a top dog. We do take them out before to walk and be next to each other, take them to the dog park, and then try to get them together in the house. And she's getting better, but she still has that kind of being a snot with the other dog when they get inside.
George, what do you think?
You know, there's a lot to be said. How old is a Scottish Terrier, and how old is a Boston Terrier?
They're both the same age. They both, the Boston Terrier, my one daughter got as a puppy, and the rest dog, they got it too, and now they're both 4 years old. And they've worked really hard with her. She's come a long way. Lucy the Scotty has come a long way, but still, I don't know if she'll ever overcome that or not. I've heard after a certain age, they're always going to be like that, and that's why I think they gave her up at two, but I don't know.
You know, not necessarily. You know, it really has to do with how their perception of each other. So if your Boston Terrier is being sweet and loving and showing a lot of, a polite and social behaviors, the Scotty might just be having some social deficits or feel like she has to police and monitor. A lot of people will call that dog top dog because they're always being a bit of a bully. But in fact, I always find that those dogs have a little thread of anxiety or a little bit of nervousness that runs through them. So what I like to do is really go hard at basic obedience and manners, because if the Scotty has a nice pool of behavior to draw from and these basic obedience manners are being done around the other dog, she's going to be reinforced for not only doing her basic obedience and manners, but by proxy, she's also getting treats for the other dog being around. So one of the games that I love to play is called Chill Out, where you sit down and you step on the leash that the Scotty will have on. And you can do this with both dogs, and you wait for them to lay down at your feet. The moment they lay down, you start paying them. And you do this with the dogs next to each other, on a couch, opposite ends of the couch. And then little by little, over the span of, say, a couple weeks, you start bringing them closer and closer together. And pay attention to, their feeding rituals and also policing the Scotty and not allowing her to sort of, be mean to the other dog. So the punishments that I use are definitely timeouts, removing the dog from the situation. But punishment will get rid of a behavior, but reinforcement is the only way to build a behavior. So we want to make sure that the Scotty is getting a ton of reinforcement for being around the Boston so that we start to change how she actually feels about your Boston Terrier. We have this knee-jerk reaction to sort of say, hey, stop it, knock it off, and bark at the dog when they're doing something naughty. But in those moments where they pass comfortably past each other, when one dog takes a bone, takes a bone out of the toy bin and lays down and chews, and the other dog can walk past without any incident, sometimes the absence of behavior is the behavior we truly want. And if we take the opportunity to reward those moments, the dogs will learn over time that those behaviors, it's like, well, what was I doing? I was just chewing on my bone on the bed, and this dog walked past me, and I got a bunch of cheese. Well, they're going to remember that, and they're going to replicate that behavior over and over. So it does take time, and I would make sure that, obviously never leave them unattended and monitor them. But don't let your first reaction be to punish when she's bad. Let your first action be reward when she's being good.
Good tips. Casey, thank you. Good luck. Anne in Elm Grove, it's your turn. Hi, Anne.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So we have Teddy, a 13-week-old golden retriever who is a real sweetheart. He's on a high-quality dog kibble, and I pay close attention to giving him the recommended amount every day. But now, here's my question. We're in puppy kindergarten right now, and I've read a lot of puppy training books, and training is so tied in with treating. They do something, you give them a treat. They do something else, you give them a treat. Well, down the road, I don't want to end up with a roly-poly because I know that's not good for them. So how do you balance out calorie-wise their daily kibble, which they need for, all the vitamins, and then the high-quality treats that we're supposed to be using?
What's nice about puppy, that's a really, really wonderful question. And puppies are just so fun and delicious. They're so cute. But I totally get what you're saying. And similarly to human babies, where, you know, we want them to eat a lot of calories. We're not too worried about their weight right now. I think your worry is true, because some dogs can become obese from, you know, from eating too many rich treats. Now, one thing that I love to do is I use the kibble that's measured out for his rations for the day, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I use those, use the kibble in training. So one thing I love to do is I will pulverize any freeze-dried organ meat. So chicken hearts, beef liver, lamb lung, I'll pulverize it in a Ziploc, and then I fill the bag with kibble. And then I measure out the kibble from there. Now, what happens is that the dust coats all of the kibble, and it sort of gives it a flavor boost instead of it being the run-of-the-mill kibble. And they're more likely to want to train, and they're more likely to want to be – they're going to be enticed by using that type of food. And you're actually just giving him his general caloric intake for the day. The other part of this is supplemental treats, the same chicken hearts, beef liver, or lamb lung, or any tasty treats that he's getting. We want to make sure that he's getting those in actively in training. So if you just use some of those treats – once in a while in his training, along with his kibble, he's going to think and learn that, oh, if I just eat through this kibble, there's a yummy treat coming after that. So the value of the kibble will increase, and you'll still be able to get a lot of really wonderful training done.
Very, very good advice. Thank you so much for that question, Ann. Appreciate it very much. Lauren Wotashik, Executive Director of Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison. George Malara, a certified professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. George is talking about treats. It's always a treat for me to see the smiling face of Kate Archer Kent. And here she is again. Hi. Our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive underway. That's why she's here. And we're both here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy. Programs like this one. Support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for our shows. And that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
And it is so important. Today of all days, support WPR and your gift will go twice as far. All donations up to $85,000. And by the way, we have $40,000 of match money available. It will be matched by a group of generous members.
So take advantage of this offer and support WPR programs, the ones you love, and your support's going to be doubled right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, I just love to hear that puppies are fun and delicious, Larry. That's so much fun to listen to this program on our beloved rescue pets and learning to be patient, learning that this is a process and getting such good advice. I mean, every day we join Larry, there is such great advice to be had. So, you know what? This WPR is listener supported. That means that when you give at WPR.org, or 888-202-2552. You make this fabulous puppy hour, rescue pet hour. You make many, many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And ask for your pair of WPR pint cups. These steel clean canteen cups are perfect for showing off your WPR pride, whether you are enjoying your favorite beverage outside, or maybe you're inside. Maybe you're trying to just stay hydrated throughout the day. It all starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I blew my $8 on this cable. I've got another cable just sitting around the house doing nothing.
Postage to send a care package to my son in Texas that was outrageously expensive.
It might have been dryer sheets on Amazon.
It's pretty easy to make a questionable decision about how we spend our money, and it can be just as easy, and not a bad idea, to make a few sound investments along the way, like supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR, So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. Let me repeat that. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Kate Archer Kent. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And I don't care if your gift is $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
A group of generous members have created a challenge up to $85,000 to inspire you to support WPR today. So for as long as it lasts, your gift will be matched.
And good news, there's still time. There's still 40 grand left in that account. So that plenty of room for you and might be a good time to double your impact with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Support the programs you love right now when you give WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then take another great step. Check with your employer about matching your gift.
Ah, yeah, that's a great idea. Many employers will match gifts as well. So there, now you're doing it a couple of different
ways.
Right. I like that idea. And that dollar-for-dollar gift is still in effect, so why not give now? We'll be back after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, talking about bringing new pets into your home on the show today, and a little about pet behavior as well. Lauren Watashik is the Executive Director of Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison. George Malara is a certified professional dog trainer and the owner of Divine Canine in Madison. So, what training questions do you have? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@WPR.org. And Lauren, I want to turn to you. We had an email from Diane in Madison. She hears a lot about dogs coming up from the South. Why are we importing dogs and cats from the South? Could you explain more about how that rescue process works and why it's being done?
Yeah, that's a really good question. When I founded our rescue back in 2012, I had the buy local type mentality where I wanted to get animals from Milwaukee Animal Control, from Dane County, from local within an hour drive type places, maybe even Chicago. And as I did that, I realized that the adoptable animals that were at a lot of these shelters I was almost fighting with other rescues to take in these animals. So what it kind of boils down to is that we have a really good adopter pool here in the Midwest, and animals that are here and available get snatched up by adopters or rescues right away. We focus on, I have a really great intake team of volunteers who work with shelters down south. They try to find the most rural, economically challenged areas and find places that there aren't great adopter pools. So there's shelters down south where animals walk in the shelter and they just don't walk out. The euthanasia rate can be really high, and it's not because people don't, you know, the shelter staff doesn't care about the animals. It's because there's just not, there aren't adopters out there able to take these animals into their homes and feed them and care for them. So there's other sections of the U.S. Like up the East Coast, there's animals shipped up there often, like transported up there, kind of like we do to the Midwest. From the South, there's almost a drought of animals in need that just organically become homeless in those areas. So we need to help the animals that are being euthanized down south.
You know, I was thinking about Lila again, my friend's dog that I am in love with. Lila was within one day of being euthanized. Mm-hmm. And I think about, oh, my goodness, what a loss not to have experienced that dog or have Lila experience life that she's got now, which is pretty darn nice. How many... talk about more about your operation, Lauren. How many dogs have you been able to, and animals have you been able to home?
A couple of years ago in 2019, we had the goal of finding homes for 100 animals each month. And over the quarantine, we've pretty consistently adopted out 200 animals every month. We mainly... adopt out dogs and cats. We do take in bunnies, critters of other, reptiles and that kind of thing, but it's mainly dogs and cats. So we found that we had more people interested in volunteering with their time when they were kind of stuck in their houses, and more people who thought it was a good time to transition in animals to their homes because they were working from home for at least a period of time.
Well, it's a great operation that you have, and I really like your website too. Underdog. Yeah, what's the URL for folks to take a look at Underdog?
Yeah, it's underdogpetrescue.org. We're Underdog Pet Rescue Wisconsin. We are our own little organization, just named ourselves of Wisconsin to make sure that we sit across. There's other underdogs throughout the U.S., but we are just almost all volunteer-based. We have a couple employees at our vet clinic, but besides that, we just have a bunch of really caring people who live in the Madison area who want to help our animals.
Let's take a call. Nick in Green Bay, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, you guys are angels, but I like my pets more than I like people, so both my dogs are rescues from the south, from the Appleton Humane Society, but my question is, I've got a little black and white dog. We don't know what he is. And he's a rescue. And when he goes to the kitchen, he actually scurries down to his stomach and just is freaking out. And I've had him since he's a pup, so I know all the history. Well, I know most of the history for him. And I just was wondering if you have any hypothesis of why he does that. And then the other question I got is, I got an 80-pound lab, and I can't really shoot him, so I got to fix this problem. When we walk him, he pulls like crazy. It's horrible. And he's 80 pounds of fear. Full muscle, so it's just, but like I said, I would never buy a dog from a breeder ever. I'll always get rescues.
Well, Doug,
Nick,
thank you so much for adopting Nick. Yeah.
So, and we've got a dog scared of the kitchen and another one pulling on the walk.
So let's talk about the little black and white dog first. How old is he, Nick? Oh, he must have taken his call.
I think we lost him.
That's all right. So I'll answer his call while he's listening in there. So with the little black and white dog, it's very possible that he doesn't like the feeling of the linoleum or tile in the kitchen. What I would do just to test the theory would be to put down a little area of carpet and see how he does on carpeting versus the linoleum or hard floor in the kitchen. A lot of dogs can struggle if they're not exposed to different surfaces, and the first time they get on hardwood floor or any sort of slick flooring, it can affect their footing, and they can slip and fall. And that generally is the case in my experience. Now for the Labrador, there's a lot of equipment out there, and I like the front clip harnesses. The front clip harnesses are super valuable because they actually deter the dog from pulling without using any sort of pain or fear. There's other pieces of equipment that are potentially hazardous or dangerous to dogs, like prong collars or choke chains, which are to me, they're just medieval devices. They're old and dated, and they can actually cause more behavior problems. So front clip harnesses, the one I really like is by a company called Premier. It's called Easy Walk Harness, and you can put it on him, fit it to his size, and that's going to manage the pulling. Pulling is also part, the other part of pulling is that it's the rehearsal of behavior. He can get to the next tree and smell it and send a pee mail on the tree to some other dog, and then keep on pulling to the next tree. And what we want to do is we want to teach him how to walk nicely. So when he is walking nicely next to you, feeding him treats
right when he's next to you, will start to sort of teach him that this is the place where the ATM is spitting out 20s, and that's where the best place for him to be. And pay attention to those moments where he is walking nicely next to you and reward those yes opportunities, as opposed to waiting till he pulls and having to jerk his leash and getting into that battle. Those are probably the best tips I have for polite leash walking.
Nick, thanks for calling. Good luck. Jim in Nisida. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hi. You kind of touched on the part of my question was I have a 3.5-year-old Shepherd, and it's about 86, 88 pounds. Wonderful dog. Wonderful demeanor. We live in the country out here in the feed-in, so he doesn't get a whole lot of social activities, but I try to take, you know, did 12 weeks training at Petco, and we take him, anytime we take him to where there's a city area, he gets, his anxiety level gets so high. Never at home, or if my wife and I leave him in the car for a few minutes, if we don't hide the vehicle by a higher profile vehicle, he'll bark until he doesn't see us anymore. But that's not my question. My question is the pulling thing. I have tried the easy walk. I've tried the one that goes around the muzzle. That one he wants to just rip off with his paws. And I'm waiting to get some calls back from my vet. But this is the only time that I have an issue with him, really, is if we want to take him to a state park and go for a walk. He just wants to pull so hard. And like I said, the front clips, I've tried them all. I spent hundreds on harnesses and different things. My question is, I've done some research and some reading. Would possibly, we don't do this, but maybe a couple of times a month, but is it possible that I can give him a very low dose of a med just to calm him down? Because if he's we're on a walk, it's everything we can, and we're in our 60s, just to keep he's strong.
Keep him up. Okay.
Right. He eats well. He has plenty of exercise. I'm training him to be a dock diver for this September in Chippewa Falls.
And, oh, excellent.
But just, you know, it's just that one little thing there.
All right.
So again, in the same way I answered Nick's question, is in those moments, so what you can do is you can actually set up a little course in your house and practice holding the leash. What side do you like to walk him on, your left or your right?
I'd like to walk him out on the left, but, you know, he wants to vary. He goes back and forth, but I try to keep him on the left if I can.
So what you do is you start with, you know, the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. Put his leash on and, you know, maybe dust off one of those harnesses and walk around your house. And just to prime the pump of teaching him to stay by your side. So walking around the house is probably very easy for him, especially on leash. And you start feeding him treats for being next to you. Next, you take it out to your backyard and walk around the yard with him on leash. I think your expectations are too great, because it's almost like a kid going to Disney. The second the kid walks down Main Street and they see the Magic Kingdom, they're gone. Their brain is like, wow, stimulus overload. And I think that's what's happening with your pup when you take him on these adventures to state parks. It's about starting the training in a smaller and less distracting environment, and building up to those distractions. Something else that I love to introduce with dogs that struggle with pulling is tug of war. So once your pup is doing well in your living room and in your front yard and your backyard, what you can do is you can introduce a little bit of tug of war and get him a little bit excited. Because when he's out in the national parks, he's excited. He's super, super jazzed about being there. So it's no surprise that he's wanting to pull and smell everything and pee on everything. So By playing tug with him, you're creating a little bit of synthetic arousal, and you can start practicing again, putting value in being next to you. And then when you go to the parks, make sure you bring super, super high value treats, chicken, cheese, turkey, roast beef, hot dogs, so that he can be handsomely rewarded for maintaining his pace with you.
Good luck. Thank you for calling.
I hope that helps. Thank you for your call.
Brian in Hayward. Hello.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I have a 4-year-old Catan that is the most lovable puppy, but he just injured his back severely. We had to have surgery, and we have to keep him down for 8 weeks. And he is so active, I just don't know how we're going to do it. How
What do you do there in those kinds of cases? What do you do in those kinds?
If you stay on the line, maybe Jill can actually forward this link. There's a beautiful video that a colleague of mine did that really revolves around crate rest games. Now, these crate rest games are valuable because you're going to need to sort of keep him really calm so that he can heal from what sounds like a big surgery. And these crate rest games are wonderful because they're going to keep his mind occupied, because you're not going to be able to exercise them like you normally would. Keeping their brain tired will help him sleep better and be more mentally engaged, which will cause a different type of exhaustion, but it will help him rest and maintain his, you know, his bed regimen that he needs.
That's great advice.
Can we grab his information so we can forward this?
Yeah, we'll see what we can do, or we can post, if you want to, we can post that up on our page, WPR.org/Larry, and go to today's show, and we can post that information under our program notes that Brian or anybody else can get. George Malera is a certified professional dog trainer and owner of Divine Canine in Madison. Lauren Watashik is the executive director of Underdog Pet Rescue and Veterinary Services in Madison. Perform a wonderful service for many, many dogs and many, many people. Tell you what, Kate Archer Kent performs a valuable service every day with her radio show, and that's why it's such a pleasure for me to have her along on this Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener supports the largest source of funding for our WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important, isn't it?
It is, and pleasure is all mine, Larry, to be here with you. And today, support WPR, and your gift will go twice as far. All donations up to $85,000 will be matched. We have about $40,000 of that match money left. And this match is courtesy of a group of very generous members.
So take advantage of this offer. I think it's down to about maybe $38,000.
All right, ticking down.
It's moving down. But there's still time for you to take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, some of the regular guests on the Larry Mueller Show, Jesse LeGrew, Beth Wendt, helps with computer and tech problems, PJ Leash and Phil Pelletieri, they answer endless questions about insects. And then Melinda Myers. Oh my gosh, I learned so much from Melinda. And we share this affinity for lavender. And she's a nationally known gardening expert.
You know, the other day I got an email from someone. And the email talked about he and his wife, they listen to the show. And they've listened for years. And he was writing to tell me that they have followed the financial advice of the financial person that I have on the show. And thanks to the show, they are now, as they get to their retirement, in good financial shape. And in fact, they're even helping their grandchildren with their education. So
wow.
He wanted to send me that note. And, it was one of those points where I think, you know, sometimes you wonder if you're providing the information people need, and then sometimes you get an email like that and you feel like, do I feel good about that? Well, I tell you what, I hope you get information, great information that you can use on the show from these guests and so many other guests that we have on the show. And together we get to the bottom of your questions. All of it's possible with your gift. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And then there's the pair of WPR pint cups. They keep coming back. These stackable steel clean canteen cups. They're perfect for everyday use or your next outdoor adventure with your pup. So support the programs you value. Show off your love for WPR. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many things to love about Wisconsin, our state. It's really a beautiful state. We've been talking. Parks came up a lot today on the show. Yep. Parks, the forests and rivers are some of the best things about living here.
And we like to think of WPR as part of what makes Wisconsin special, like a natural resource, an asset, something that's available to everyone, something that's fundamental to life in Wisconsin. And with your gift, you keep WPR a strong resource that everyone can enjoy. So contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before and you look forward to listening to the show every day, this show and all the shows on WPR, it's time to donate. When you spend that much time with WPR, it means it's important to you.
And you're important to us because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from people just like you, people who care about independent news, who care about conversation, music. Your gift of, say, $100 or $10 a month or whatever amount feels right for you really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
Oh, thanks so much for that comment. I hope you'll give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. We're getting down to the end of the show, but if you haven't given yet, I hope you'll give right now. Maybe $10 a month, maybe $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we have that dollar for dollar match in effect. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
It's quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Kate and I are going to have to go away now, but I want to thank you so much for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and for contributing. If you haven't done it yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.